It's finally here. The Chiefs are kicking off their preseason. You get a look at the rookies. You get a look at the new additions, however short that it may be. And hopefully Patrick Mahomes plays about three snaps and gets the heck out of the game. We're going to talk about all of our goals for preseason game number one coming up today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us, Chiefs Nation, and making us your first listen. We are part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day for free on every platform. A rare midday live stream happened to align with our lunch breaks and that kind of thing. So we're giving you a preview of the game as we want to see it and what we need to find out. A lot coming up today. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, as well as RGR Football, NFL 33, and whatever else I can come up with.
Yeah, just a couple of more things, right? I'm Chris Clark, founder of Chiefs Corner. You can find me over there. Going to be talking a little bit more about the preseason over there. Looking forward to it, and actually really looking forward to watching Chiefs football again. Lot to look at, lot to watch. A lot of players. I'm really interested to see what they're able to do on the field.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk first and foremost. This is a rookie class that's going to really have to jump into the mix this season. It's not just the defensive guys. It's not just Sky Moore that I know everybody really wants to see, but it has to be, I think, well spread out across the actual class. The class is huge, 10 selections in this draft. I think we could end up seeing 8, 9, maybe make it this roster. What do you think?
I don't think that's out of the question. When they first drafted three corners, I didn't think that would be possible. At this point, it looks like Watson is going to be a guy that maybe gets some run. So we'll see how he's able to play in the preseason if he can show enough to actually make the roster.
Excuse me, I was coughing there. Yeah, making the roster is one thing. You got to take a first step, and this is the first increment, right? As you're actually playing, you came from college, you bumped up a level. You got in a training camp against professionals. Now you're playing an opponent. That's bumping you up another level, letting you take your game up. Who can respond real quickly and look like they're comfortable? That's really what it comes down to. And thanks to Finn for jumping in our live stream, folks. If you're on the YouTube channel, like, sub, and hit that bell. If you're hearing this on audio, then you can go back and check out the video if you'd like. But Finn said, you know, he doesn't always go rogue, but when he does, he's locked on. I like that. Might have to put that on a t-shirt. That's coming, Finn. I like it. It's raising your level up. And I think one guy in particular that stands out to me that hasn't been like gotten the hype, but has steadily increased his level of play from what I watched on college film is Trent McDuffie. He's honestly the number one guy that I'm looking to watch in the rookie class in this first preseason game, because I think he has the ability to make the difference in this defense as a whole. Am I wrong, or is there someone else that you're looking more forward to?
No, I'm looking forward to McDuffie just because I think that it's a huge deal if he can play well and play well early for the Chiefs. He's going to get tested early, especially in that game against the Chargers. So you know that that's going to be a good test for him. So my question really, though, is what does Karlaftis do? Mm-hmm. How does his game translate to the NFL? Do they give him the first string snaps and let him go up against the best possible competition that he can go up against, going against the Bears? I think that's what's important for him, is to get him out there with the ones, get him some time going against the Bears' best. The Bears' best isn't great, but it's at least a starting line, and you would get a better idea as to what you're looking at and what he is going to be able to bring to the table.
It's going to be an interesting matchup for Karlaftis in particular, because Braxton Jones looks to be starting for them at one of the tackle spots. That's going to be rookie on rookie. And I think it gives you a nice glimpse of who and how he can get there. So you should see, I believe it's Riley Reiff that is slated to start on the opposite side. So clearly a longtime veteran on that end. You can get that kind of rookie versus vet. And Riley's not the athlete that he used to be, obviously. And Karlaftis is a guy that I think can really solidify and show his power in this particular game. And then you get to go against the rookie. So I like the fact that if we watch Karlaftis consistently and he flops around sides, which I do expect because he did it in college, and I think the Chiefs want to use him that way, we should get two views of how he's able to compete in this league at this level right now.
Yeah, and I'm also curious, and not necessarily because I think Kansas City will be interested, but the Bears have a tackle that they just drafted last year that it sounds like is on the block. I'm curious to see how he plays. I don't know that Kansas City would really be interested, but it's still just something that I'm it's going to be curious. How does he play against Frank Clark? How does he play against Karloftis? How does he play against the Chiefs DNs? He's got to know he's on the block, and that's going to be something that's going to be a big challenge for him.
Yeah, I have to think so. But, you know, I feel pretty confident in the way that Orlando has looked so far. So I don't know that you're going to make a whole lot of news there. For me, on that matchup in particular, when it comes to the pass rush, it's going to be about Wiley and where Wiley's sitting right now in terms of – I always feel like Wiley starts the season hotter than he ends it. Maybe that's the way that it is. And, you know, hey, special live edition of Locked On Chiefs today, you guys. Thanks for being here in the middle of the day. Want to tell you, before we get too deep into the woods, about today's sponsor. And, hey, you know where to lay your money on the line. It's the easiest and fastest way to do it. It's betonline.net. You can find all your favorite sports events, all the odds, lines, and games that you want to be in on the action. And you can get there with extra podcasts, extra information, all the wagers that you want to set. They have you covered from top to bottom. And it's not just football, although that's the only thing that's really important. But there are all the other sports as well, all the way up to like MMA and esports and even golf. If you guys lay some money on some golf bets, let me know, because I want to know what that kind of looks like. Not something that I've ever even looked at betting on. But you can do it all at BetOnline. It's where the game starts. Go check them out. We appreciate their support. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay.
Go get on the line.
Get on the line, yes.
Yes, and this is live. People are asking in the comments, yes, this is absolutely live. So please give us your comments. We will look at those as we can. Just for clarity, I'm talking about Tevin Jenkins. He is supposedly on the block from what I saw. I'm just curious to see how he plays, because he's going to be a guy that is just a question mark. He was a highly drafted person last year. Now he's not. And what is that going to look like if he truly is on the block?
Yeah, and he should be, as I understand, slated for the backup role, and that's fine. I'm sorry, you broke up there on my stream, so I thought you were talking about Robert Quinn, because that's the backup.
No, I get that too. I knew that's where your brain went because of what you were talking about. So
it's like that. I do that. I flip around a little bit. But pass rush is only part of it. Yes, there's questions on both sides for both teams. The rotation for me is where that really comes into play. And as we look farther down the depth chart, obviously you know what Carlos Dunlap is going to bring. You know what Frank Clark is on a good day anyway. Frank was ill again yesterday and missed another practice with another illness. I think there's probably be something that's been diagnosed, some gastrointestinal thing that Frank just has to deal with that we don't know about yet. And that's when it's not an acute injury that happened on the field. I think the NFL takes a little bit of time, like controlling HIPAA information and not really putting those kind of things out if they don't have to. I think when it's all said and done, we will find out that something's been going on with Frank for quite a while. But in the end, you know what he can bring. So the question becomes, Karloftis, we talked about, but even beyond that, is how much pass rush can they get out of Josh Kando and Malik Herring? I think Herring's looked pretty snappy in a lot of the reps that he's gotten. I'm really intrigued to see him.
No, I'm really excited to see the pass rush, because this is the first time I'm actually going to see them somewhat live, or I guess it will be live. I didn't get a chance to make it to camp, so I didn't get to see that like I would normally see. And you're in a situation where Kando was a fifth-round pick last year. He, in my opinion, I think he's going to be on the roster. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything that would make me think otherwise, but it is a question when you start getting into numbers how all this is going to shake out. So I would imagine they're going to keep five defensive ends. I don't think that's probably a question. So I would expect Kando is going to be that guy. But at this point, I also don't know that there's not going to be another DN that shows up that's for sale or that gets cut that Kansas City may be able to go get.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of options. I hope that Josh Kando can make the roster, because with Karloftis and Mike Dana looking to be probably the backups at this point, you got to have more depth than that at that position. So one of them, Malik Herring or Josh Kando, has to step forward and kind of take that on. There's more to it, though, because it's not just being a backup. It's how much of the rotation can you get? I think the one question that we won't get an answer on in terms of the pass rush is Carlos Dunlap and how much he's going to play, whether he's going to start and play first downs. We know he wants to. I don't know that that's the best role for him for the Chiefs. So hopefully they limit that a little bit, in my opinion, because I think you need him most definitely on second and third down. First down, I'm not that concerned about.
I get where he wants to. I get why he wants to play what he wants to play. He wants to have the best ability to put the best stats. What's best for Kansas City, though, is for them to get their first-round pick as many snaps as they can possibly get him throughout the season. I don't think that's going to be a problem regardless of how many snaps you give Dunlop just because of the way snaps shake out when it comes to defensive ends.
Now, on the offensive side of the ball, we'll get back to a couple of other guys that are going to play that I'm really excited about in the later segment, you guys.
I just want to say really quick on defense, because somebody mentioned this, and I am really excited for this as well. Chanel is going to hit somebody, and it is going to be great.
See, I was trying to save that.
Sorry, my bad. I'm excited about that. Like, I watched, you watch some of his film, and it just stands out to you how much he blows people up and how hard he plays. It's going to be fun to watch.
And I think both those guys, Karlaftis and Chanel, have had a lot of fan interest in what their role is going to be. I don't think that's decided. And for both of those guys in particular, maybe more so than rookies in past draft classes, I don't think it's set. I think this is a starting point for both of them. What we've seen in camp is that they don't feel that Chanel's ready to be a starter. And quite frankly, playing backwards is still an issue for him. It was in college because he wasn't asked to do it. He needs that time to adjust. So even here, Heald's definitely going to come downhill and hit somebody. He's definitely going to be, I think, a strength more so than the other linebackers in running downs on first down. So if they're in base, I expect him to be out there. The only problem is you can't really disguise what you're going to do with him. He's either going to play the run or he's going to blitz because he can't get back in coverage yet. So I think that is a little bit problematic for Brendan Daly and for Steve Spagnuolo, but it also is just the starting point. So as we see what we get from him this game, then we have to compare it to the next two games.
That's true, but what I would also argue is that the NFL is going to be full of defenses, and you use a piece here, you use a piece here. I could see him being great on the goal line where he doesn't have to drop and he's attacking, and maybe that's just enough to get him some huge plays for Kansas City. I mean, look at their goal line defense in the past couple of years. I think he could be in a great scenario there. Help stop the run, help attack, and not have 20 yards to drop because it's only a 10-yard.
Yeah.
Maybe 15 at tops around the goal line.
And that may be what it comes down to. Now, the other guy that's going to get, I think, significant reps in the season, but also this game is really important to see where he's at in terms of fit and, the basics of assignment and alignment and make sure that he's ready to go, is another guy that, like Chanel, isn't going to be a starter, but I think is going to be the X factor when it all comes down to this rookie class, and that's Brian Cook, because he is the third safety. That has been solidified through camp. Unless he's just blowing assignments here tomorrow, it's going to be him. And for me, it's about show me what you can do with him. And it's not that, like, if they have specific plans, Steve Spagnuolo is not going to give him away in a preseason game.
Right.
But we will see glimpses of how often he comes downhill, how often he aligns in the box, and what he looks like moving backward in particular. Because I think Brian Cook can play all three positions. He's definitely better closer to line of the scrimmage, in my opinion. But he can play all three positions that Steve Spagnuolo uses his safeties for. So that versatility combined with Justin Reed and combined with Juan Thornhill, I think is really, really interesting in terms of what he's able to do as the coordinator to disguise and attack.
Yeah, and I will say this. I am shocked. We're almost 14 minutes into this podcast, and you just first brought Brian Cook up about a minute ago. I'm shocked.
Trying to be calm.
No, I do think that it's going to be fun to watch what he's able to do. I don't know how much he's going to get first string snaps, because generally speaking, they try to stay extremely vanilla in the preseason. And if they stay that vanilla and they don't want to go to some of the three safety sets, I don't know how many first string snaps he's going to see unless they decide that they're going to pull Reed or Thornhill. Mm-hmm. And maybe they do that. Maybe they think that they're both ready and they give Cook even more snaps. But the nice thing is I do think that he'll get second and maybe even some third string snaps, because I think they want him to get ready as he can possibly be and get ready for the season.
Agreed. And so next we will move to the offensive side, because nobody wants to talk about the offense on this team, right? I mean,
yeah, well, come on. You never seem to want to, but okay. Unless we're talking about,
I was trying to go there a couple of minutes ago, but hey, you had to sidetrack me. Folks, when we get back from this, we are going to get into the offense, the rookies that are going to perform, but honestly, what it's going to look like for Patrick Mahomes and the starting unit. So there's already a question in the chat. I know how that works. Andy Reid has said that the starters are going to play a quarter. I really, really do hope that it's one series and out Patrick himself.
I was going to say, you're going to see about maybe three snaps from Patrick. And if that's, yeah, he's going to take one snap and Reed's going to look at him and go, okay, I think you've had enough. And Patrick's going to try to beg for a couple more. But I do think that Mahomes is not playing at the end of the first quarter. Unless Chicago has been on the field the entire first quarter, there's no way that Mahomes is playing in the final couple minutes of the first quarter.
Yeah,
I just don't think that they're going to go that way. I do think that it is important for the offensive line to stay in for a full quarter. I think that they need to play together. I think they need to have that time. I know most of them had that chemistry last year. Mm-hmm. Actually, all of them really had that chemistry last year at times. But I do think that they still need to have that full first string offensive line in there. As long as Orlando's in good enough shape, which I think he should be by this point, to do that and have them play that full first quarter, even if Henny comes in, even if some of the second wide receivers and tight ends come in. I also think Travis Kelce is going to be out quick as well. So
yeah, better be. Now, Jody Ford's in practice yesterday, at least in some drills. I don't think he participated 9-on-7, so I don't expect to see him this weekend, and that's okay. And folks, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not on the live stream that we are doing on YouTube, remember, this is a podcast show. I know a lot of folks want us to do the Q&As and kind of jump into some of the other things you see on RGR or around the web. This is the podcast format, and we do stick with that because we are part of that network. So we're going to do the show as we normally would, as if we were pre-recording it. It just happens to be live, so you YouTubers can get in there and see it. On audio, just roll on as though it's absolutely normal, because it is. We are going to do some mailbag segments coming up here as the season gets going. So for questions, you can leave them in some of the streams here or on the videos or through the iTunes reviews, the Apple podcast reviews, as well as Spotify. But we are going to continue with the format as the 20 to 25 minutes of talk, not the open Q&A kind of session, because there's too many questions, honestly, to cover right now.
Yep.
And on offense, obviously, it's the newcomers are highlighting the offense. In Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, and yes, Sky Moore as well. Although I have to say, amongst the hype for him, I think it's lost a little bit of the fact that he is the fourth receiver, that he's not breaking into the top three. He's not a guy that's going to line in the starting group of the 11 personnel package.
Okay. I'm not ready to say that yet. Has he been okay to this point? Has he been to this point? No. Can he be by the time the preseason's over? We'll see. If he's a gamer and he shows up and he does stuff that makes them put him on the field, so be it. I'm okay with that.
Oh, I'm okay with it too. I just can't see it happening because it's too hard for a rookie to really learn that in one camp and be ready to play all three positions, which is usually the benchmark that Andy Reid holds.
No, and I agree with you. I think that it is probably too high of a thing for him to hit, but I want to see him on the field and I want to see him with Mahomes before I make that call. So I think that it's probable that he is the fourth wide receiver, but it still means he's going to get a lot of snaps. I mean, they used four wide receivers quite often and even sometimes five last year. Not necessarily all on the field at the same time, but they used all five of their top five receivers on a regular basis.
Well, and if the offense goes to what we expect and what we should plan for in the way that the offense worked before Tyreek Hill was Tyreek Hill, it should be a distribution game. So there should be plenty of targets to go around, and they will use four and five. When you get the running backs involved, yep, it's going to go up from there, as well as the tight ends. And there's not a ton of rookies on the offensive side, but the guy that probably has garnered the most hype and the most excitement is Isaiah Pacheco. And what was it? 9 days ago, I put out a tweet about the way that the actual training camp, the second padded practice, broke down in terms of snaps with the ones. And Pacheco was fourth, Rojo was second. That has completely flipped now, 8 days later. And that's what I'm really intrigued by. In the first preseason game, who gets those touches out of the backfield? Is it Pacheco? Does he get right there behind CEH, who I think is, again, another candidate, given his injury history, to get a few snaps and get out the game?
Yeah, it's a big question. I don't know how Pacheco is going to look. I'm very curious. It's something I'm excited to see, because you hear all these reports from camp, and if he's able to do anything like what they're talking about in camp in the game, he's going to challenge other people to be – I'm not going to say he's going to make Rojo expendable, but they're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Because at that point, if you think that Pacheco is going to have that much of a fit in your offense and going to be that guy that's going to be the primary backup to CEH? Is he really worth keep? Is Rojo really worth keeping around? Because you have a guy in Derek Gore that was very good last year.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have McKinnon still. I'm not trying to say that I don't like Rojo at all. If Pacheco is really pushing for playing time, he's not going to replace CEH in one offseason.
Right.
But if he's pushing to get on the field, that makes Rojo somewhat expendable.
Yeah, I agree. And at the same time, if you get a glimpse of the rookie and maybe you don't feel that he's ready for a workload where he has to be the primary backup, then you have a veteran that you can just keep.
Right.
And add
it's that. It's not a bad place to have.
Exactly.
Not a bad choice.
So I know everybody wants to see him. I want to see what he has to offer against other competition as well. We've seen a scenario in recent years where somebody explodes during camp, and then when it gets to ball games against actual NFL opponents, things start to slow down.
That's true, but I would also argue that it has to be with the ones and twos.
Yeah,
He can't do it with threes and fours. I mean, Derek Gore did it with threes and fours last year, and everybody thought he was going to make the roster, and eventually he did, but he didn't make it early on.
Right.
He went to the practice squad. Right. So if he's doing it with the ones and twos and he's having a huge impact with ones and twos and going up against the Chicago ones and twos and going into the next couple of preseason games, that means something. So just want to point that out, because that's always going to be a big thing, is what level of competition are they playing up against when they're, you know, exploding for different items or for different yards and touchdowns and everything else.
Absolutely. The last young guy that I think we need to talk about, because I'm really intrigued by it, is Darian Kennard, who has been running as the backup right tackle so far in this camp. I have watched a lot of Kentucky film over the last couple of years, and I will say this. He reminds me much of Trey Smith in that the feet were the issue, not the length, not the aggression, not the technique. It was just getting out of the blocks was the issue that I had with Kennard. And if he's been able to improve that, because they're keeping him at right tackle, that may signal that that's the case, that they have a guy that could grow into that right tackle role. If not, moving him inside is a definite possibility to be like a swing guard behind Trey and Joe Tooney, and I think he'd be capable there as well. I want to see how he moves against Robert Quinn. Hopefully they get that kind of matchup. Or at least another speed rusher. I don't know that there's a whole lot that the Chicago Bears are going to offer you in speed rush. As I look down their roster yet again, there's not a whole lot there. So we'll see. Dominic Robinson is an intriguing rookie for them. That matchup will be, I think, a good measuring stick. So let's hope that we get a little bit of that as well.
I do want to talk about Kennard. I want to say one last thing really quick on Rojo. I'm very curious to see if they get him involved in the passing game at all in the preseason. I don't know if it'll be this game. We talked about this yesterday on yesterday's show. This could be a running game. This could be a passing game. When it comes to the preseason, that's usually how the Chiefs do it. They do one running, one passing. Don't know which one this is going to be. But it sounds like Rojo is at least improved in that area. So I want to see it if he has. Going back to Kennard, though, I'm very excited to see what Kennard can bring, because you're absolutely right. In my opinion, I think he was a lot like Trey Smith. He had slow feet. That was something he was going to struggle with. And I also believe there is no way Kansas City thought he was going to be available in the fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they ever thought he could be here. So to me, it's not a matter of they were looking for a starting right tackle. I think they just saw he was the best player available and they took him, and they're going to try him at tackle first. Maybe he ends up becoming a backup guard and a fantastic backup guard. I mean, maybe that's possible. But what I would also say is that I'm not going to be upset if he doesn't start this year at right tackle or start any games, because obviously the rest of the offensive line is set. So you would hope he wouldn't start unless it's a right tackle. But I do think that it's going to be key to see what he's able to do from this preseason into next year and how he can translate his body. And he's one of those guys that went with Duke Manyweather and is practicing, is trying to get better in the offseason. That's only going to pay huge dividends for him down the road. So it's possible that we're not going to see the best of him this year, but you point out something that's very interesting to me, is that he still has things he needs to show, because there is going to be a baseline that you need to be able to show to be able to play in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And if he shows that, if he shows the ability and maybe he just has slow feet, then maybe he's a year from being able to play. that's not a bad thing. No, especially for a fifth round pick.
Right. I mean, and look at people who've been drafted in that situation. Zach Fulton played some meaningful snaps for this team and did fine. Yep. LDT was drafted in that range and became a starter and was a stalwart for a while. Like, having to ramp up to that level is not a problem. That's a great investment, and it's true value that has helped this team in the past, you know, under Andy Reid and Brett Veach. So I think that's a really positive thing. Now, before we get out of here, I do want to do something a little bit fun. Just look into the crystal ball, get the old eight ball shaker out if you need to, but come Sunday evening when we record Monday's show, and folks, that will be up Sunday night. Who are we going to be talking about? Who's going to be the standout of preseason game number one?
Standout preseason game number one. It's hard for me to say because standout, when you talk standouts, you're looking at stats. And I don't know. To me, standouts could be, you know, MVS or Juju. Just if they're able to come in and they only, I mean, even if they only have like, you know, 4 or 5 snaps, but they get a catch and, you know, 20 or 30 yards or something like that, that's enough of a standout. Because I mean, that's showing you
somebody to the hospital, so that could be what we're talking about too.
Say what?
Leo could put somebody in the hospital. We could be talking about that too.
That's true. Yeah, no, absolutely. We could be talking about that. What I'm really thinking though, when you start talking about standouts, is I think you're going to be seeing a situation where this new Chiefs defense is going to take and put some aggression and put some pain into the offense of the Chicago Bears. And I'm not exactly sure who specifically we're going to be talking about, but somebody on defense is going to do something to stand out.
Okay. I'm down with that. I think on the defensive side, it'll probably be Leo. I'm going to go the opposite direction a little bit on the offensive side, because I don't think it's going to be one of the rookies. I don't think it's going to be one of the new additions. I think because Jody Fortson is not going to play in this game and you need to get Travis out, I have a feeling after the last week of practice that Noah Gray is on the rise, and he may do enough to make us talk about him come Sunday night, because he stepped out of what the opposite of what we saw him do last year, where he was great in OTAs and he started camp hot. And then as soon as the pad comes on, he disappeared and he ended up not doing much in the season. I think he's ready for that leap. And it looks like the last few days in particular, he's been really on his game. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah. And I will say this, I'm really curious with Gray, because if they can get a third tight end that can be a weapon on this team, watch out. And people are going to tell me, you know, Fortson is not a weapon. And I'm sorry, he is. You go back and watch what he's able to do in his limited snaps last year. If Travis Kelce wasn't the starting tight end, Fortson could have been.
Yeah.
And he may have had a lot better stats early on. I'm not trying to take anything away from Kelce. Kelsey's fantastic. He's the best tight end in football. He has been for years. But Fortson is a legitimate weapon and a legitimate threat. And he gives them something that they haven't had as well. They haven't had the ability to have that guy that can go up and get the ball at times at that position. Kelsey's tall, but he's not a leaper.
True. I think the trio in particular sets up to do what I want to do. And so when Andy calls me next week, I'll tell him it's the 23 personnel package. You got to get in there. 2 running backs, Mike Burton leading the way, and then 3 tight ends. That's what you got to do, right? Because the nice thing about that is whether it, particularly if it's CEH or Pacheco and or McKinnon, I'm not so sure about Gore, but any of those three, if you have the 3 tight end package plus Mike Burton and plus one of those tailbacks, you can split them out and go 5 wide out of motion. They're that versatile. And that tight end group, I think, is really intriguing to me that I want to see them do something with.
No, that's absolutely true. You could do that with Fortson. You can do it with Gray. And obviously, you can do it with Kelce. So that would be fantastic to see. And I hope that they play off that, because that is going to be something that teams are not going to be able to defend very well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you come out with it in a standard 2-3 or in a standard set where you have 2 running backs and 3 tight ends, you're going to think run the ball 95% of the time. And defenses are going to have to gamble if they're going to try to stop a passing attack in that situation.
Yeah, you line up that consistently, it forces them in either bringing another down lineman or at least another linebacker onto the field. And if you have multiple matchups with Kelce and Fortson and Gray on linebackers, you can win those.
Somebody just said, why stop at 3 tight ends?
Well, we're running up against the whole thing. You can only have 11 guys on offense. If I could figure out a way to do more than that, I would. I promise.
Well, I mean, you could put Blake Bell at fullback and have 4 tight ends.
True. We could do that and then let Mike carry the ball. That'd be great.
I didn't go that far. I was saying I wasn't going to go that far. I was just saying you could put four tight ends on the field with an H-back, not Mike Burton.
I'm so here for this. And for those of you that might be listening from a 4A school in the state of Colorado, watch out. Because if my local high school wants a consultant, I can tell you exactly where we're going.
I will say this, though. Mike Burton does give this team something that they don't have with somebody that has a little bit of power, a little bit more power than a guy like Gore does. And he does have good hands. Mm-hmm. So he does have that ability to catch the ball and do – I'm not talking, get huge plays. I'm talking get enough to get first downs. If he's on the field, it doesn't have to be a huge play. They're probably going for a short yardage situation, and he is perfect for that. He is perfect to help set them up for the running back getting it as well.
Agreed. A lot that we have to take away. We will have a breakdown for you from the weekend for Sunday night. It'll be up earlier on Sunday, probably. That'll be the Monday show. If we get real excited and have something to talk about, you guys might even get a bonus drop from us. We will see what happens. But we hope either way that you are ready for game number one of this preseason and what it means for the season coming down the pike here. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for your time and spending with us. Make sure you like, sub, and hit the bell on YouTube. And leave us those iTunes reviews. Let us know what you want to hear from.
Hey, it's back. Football is back. That's all I have to say. I'm so ecstatic about this game tomorrow.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll talk to you next time.